Amen. 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 Let's go to John 3. Forgiveness ushers in the plan of God. Has anybody ever actually considered forgiveness being part of the plan of God? What it may do to the plan of God? Yeah. But we're going to see how important it'll put forgiveness in a whole new light for you. Right. John 3, let's read 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. Now let's drop down to, let's see, where do we want to go? Because he just told me again, forget the little preview. But one of the things that I've been thinking about was 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5, you know, we always read verse 17, but I kind of talked about this the last couple of weeks, but I wanted to just share the verse. This is 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to read verses 17 to 20 in the King James Voice and Message Bible. It reads, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. As Micah said, they need to be passed away for the rest of their life. Okay. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us what? The ministry of reconciliation. What does reconciliation mean? Bring together. Okay. How can you bring someone together if you're in unforgiveness? Okay. All right. Just checking. All right. Verse 19. To wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Folks, that means that in any situation, God will give us things to say that will cause what? Reconciliation. And not division. Okay? Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though Christ did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now listen to the voice. Therefore, if anyone is united with the Anointed One, that person is a new creation. The old life is gone, and see, a new life has begun. All of this is a gift from our Creator, God, who has pursued us and brought us into a restored and healthy relationship with him through the Anointed, and he has given us the same mission, the ministry of reconciliation, to bring others back to him. It is central to our good news that God was in the Anointed, making things right between himself and the world. And listen to this. This means he does not hold their sins against them. We can't continue to hold things against folk. But it also means, listen, it also means he charges us to proclaim the message that heals and restores our broken relationships with God and each other. Not just with God. With God and who? Each other. Tell your neighbor, say, you're in each other. Okay. So we are now representatives of the Anointed One, the liberating King. God has given us a charge to carry through our lives, urging all people on behalf of the Anointed to become reconciled to the Creator God. Now here's the Message Bible. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. And you can say, or what they have done. We look at the Messiah that we looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone. A new life burgeons, jumps out. Okay. Look at it. All this comes from God, who settled the relationship between us and him, and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. You need to think about that. God said, I've already taken care of my relationship with you. It's restored. Now you have to go out and settle your relationships with each other. That means you need to be restored one to another. God put the world square on himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he's doing. We are Christ's representative. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences. How can we persuade men and women to drop their differences if we're having differences? I mean, you know what they're going to call us. Right. Okay. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend to you. Now, why do you think God places so much emphasis on forgiveness? Just tell me. I'm not looking for a right or wrong answer. Just want to know what you think. God requires it for you to, him to bless you. That's absolutely true. Yeah, he forgave us. That's also absolutely true. That's right. You can't work together if you're at odds with someone. I mean, can you imagine you're next to someone and God says, link up. And you're like, I ain't touching him or her. You know, got another question to ask you. What do you think caused the problem in the Middle East? Hatred? Ishmael? Did someone find a scripture that says, and Ishmael forgave Abraham for kicking him out? No? Well, find the one that says Isaac reached out to Ishmael and said, we're my brother. You're my brother. And please, I'm sorry for what Dad did. Please forgive us. No? So the reason the towers fell was because of unforgiveness. That's why there's turmoil in the Middle East. It's due to unforgiveness. And I started thinking about that. I'm like, my goodness. And then it made me start researching some famous feuds. What's the most famous feud that you know? Hatfields and McCoys. You know what they were feuding over? Well, during the Civil War, both the Hatfields and the McCoys were part of the Confederacy. But one member of the McCoy family fought for the Unions. And there was one member of the Hatfields that didn't like it. And when this guy got wounded, he was hiding in a cave, somebody came and executed him. And they blamed one of the uncles from the Hatfields. Even though it was proven that he was at home sick, they still blamed him. But that didn't really cause the feud because most of his family was upset with him, and they say he brought it on himself. Had he fought for the right the right section, he'd have still been alive. But then a hog disappeared. A hog, H-O-G. And the hog had markings on it that said it was McCoy, but the Hatfields had it and said it was theirs. And that's not all. Then a young Miss McCoy fell in love with a Mr. Hatfield. And the parents got upset. And they've been killing each other for years. No one would forgive. Aaron Burr, Alexander Hamilton, fighting over political views. Aaron Burr was upset because Hamilton didn't back him for governor of New York State. And when Burr lost, he blamed Hamilton. And then they went about talking about each other publicly. Yes. To the point where they said they were going to have a duel, and I didn't know this until today, but at that time, New York State had a law, no duels. So they went to Weehawking. So blinded by unforgiveness, they went to another state just so someone could get killed. Unforgiveness. What about Wyatt Earp? All right. The classic movie, right? And the Clanton gang. All right. See, we think that was just because the Clantons were outlaws and Wyatt Earp was a marshal. No, the Clantons had maimed Virgil Earp. And Wyatt wanted revenge. Okay. And I started reading this, man. All of these things are happening because no one could form their mouth to say, I forgive you. No, you got to kill somebody. And what happens is that when unforgiveness is present, something's going to die. Unfortunately, sometimes it's people who die because of unforgiveness. All the people that lost their lives on September 11th because of unforgiveness. We need to address things like we need to start calling things as it is. See, God has already proven that it doesn't matter what someone does. He's forgiven them. So it's not a matter of can we forgive or even should we forgive. The real matter is, will we forgive? I mean, that's what we need to think about. How many of you believe that Joseph was important in the plan of God? Yes. Okay, I'm not going to give you any scripture to rock that boat. You know, he was. What about Moses? Did he have, was he very important in the plan of God? Do you realize if forgiveness was in operation, neither one of them would have been on this planet? Look at Genesis 29. How many of you know the account of Jacob and Rachel? Yeah, well, now we're going to look at it from a different angle. Genesis 29. Okay, which way do you want to see? I want you this way. Yeah. So Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east, starting in verse 1. And he looked and saw a well in the field, and behold, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it, for out of that well they watered the flocks. A large stone was on the well's mouth. Now all the flocks would be gathered there, and they would roll a stone from the well's mouth, water the sheep, put the stones back in place. Okay? We're going to drop down verse 9, because he was talking to folks there and telling them who he was. But while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, a daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then it says, then Jacob kissed Rachel. Don't you think you'd go see someone at the store buying a drink and just go and kiss her. Okay. That be then. This be now. Okay. They have names for that now. Okay. Then Jacob kissed Rachel, lifted up his voice, and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's relative and that he was Rebekah's son. She ran and told her father. Right. Then it came to pass when Laban heard the report about Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him into his house. So he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, surely you are my bone and my flesh. And he stayed with him for a month. Then Laban said to Jacob, because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wages be? Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder daughter was Leah, and the youngest was Rachel. So this translation is nice. It says, Leah's eyes were delicate. No, but that's really, when you look at that word, but some say she, some translators say she's, her eyes were weak. Okay. Really what that, what it's saying is she had nice eyes, but Rachel had a nice body. Okay. That's really what it's talking about. Because it said Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel. So he said, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. And Laban said, it's better that I give you to her than I should give you to her to another man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, but they seemed only a few days to him because of the love that he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now this, when you study it out, you find out that this feast went on for 7 days. Okay? Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah's daughter and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her, and Laban gave his maid Zilpha to his daughter Leah as a maid. And you're saying, Leah, it's supposed to be Rachel. So it came to pass in the morning, behold, it was Leah. It was like, surprise. See, now Jacob is in a place where we find ourselves. Okay, no, not in bed with a stranger. Okay, all right. No, we find out that we've been deceived and we feel used, we feel embarrassed, we just feel stupid. We feel like the people are ridiculing us and mocking us. And if what Laban said was true, I'm going to tell you what he said in a moment, it wasn't just Laban that was deceitful. Laban's excuse because he said to Laban, what is this you've done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I've served you? Why then have you deceived me? And I'm laughing because I read one commentary and it said, Laban failed to read the fine print. I mean, it said Jacob failed to read the fine print. So Laban said, oh, you didn't read the fine print? No. Laban said, it must not be done. It's not done so in our country to give the youngest before the firstborn. Now, I'm thinking, wait a minute now. If that's the case, the whole town knew that. Yet nobody helped the brother out. Okay. I'm thinking about that. Just think for a minute. 7 days and you think you're marrying the woman of your dreams. 7 years. And now it's a 7-day feast and you counting down the days. And it's day 7 and you're excited. You're like, yeah, 7. That's the number of completion. Okay. I'm ready. I'm like, tonight, I see my love tonight. Okay, I mean, to bring her here, come on, let's get it on. See, he didn't even know what kind of singer he wanted to be. But she comes in the room, and I don't know why he didn't know who this was. I don't know why he couldn't see. Commentary things suggest that they had drank so much during that feast, you know, that he didn't know. They probably could have bought him the cow. He wouldn't have known what it was. Okay. But he does that, and then he wakes up and he turns over and he's looking at this weak-eyed sister. They think, what's going through his head? I mean, you need to think about that. You've been true. You've been faithful. You've done everything that you said you were going to do. And your relative, the town, the woman that you love and her sister deceive you. Deceive you. I mean, where did Leah think she was going? The 7-Eleven? Rachel knew she wasn't being led. And she knew it all week. Nobody could say, check the eyes, check the eyes. nobody said anything, and they just let this thing happen. Do you think that, you know, how many of you have just been a little bit angry? Not me. I wouldn't have been a little bit angry. I'd have been a raging bull. I mean, that's... But you need to think about that. I mean, I'm looking at right. He's thinking 7 years and you do this to me and we're kinfolk. He had a choice to make. He did. And Laban said, fulfill her week. And he's like, I got to stay with her now a week, you know, yeah, fulfill her week and we will give you this one also for the service, which you will serve me still another 7 years. I'm like, you've been eating too many of your own mandrakes. Okay. Because if you think I'm going to wait another 7 years to be deceived, you must be high. You know, as a matter of fact, if I wasn't high, I might have... He said, but think of this. This is what I'm being honest with you. I would have thought you had 2,562 days to tell me about the fine print. If you were going to be upfront about it. But you didn't do that. You deceived me. But Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as a wife, and Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid. Then Jacob went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah, you think? And he served with Laban still another 7 years. So Jacob had to let it go. As wrong could be was done to him, and he had to just let it go, folks. Because if he hadn't let it go, first of all, he wouldn't have had the woman of his dreams. And I guess he figured, well, look, the first 7 years was like a few days. Okay, I'm kind of mad now, so maybe this may be like a few weeks, but I still love Rachel. So he had to forgive Rachel. He had to forgive Leah. He had to forgive Laban. He had to forgive the whole town. Because all of them had a part in it. But he forgave them. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. Does that sound familiar to anybody? What's familiar about it? About Reuben. All right, well, you'll catch it in a minute. For she said, the Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me also this son. And she called his name Simeon. she conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. Me, I'm thinking, what about Rachel? I don't know about you, but that's what I'm thinking as I'm reading this. Okay. Therefore, his name was called Levi. Is it, you catching on yet? Say it again. 12 tribes of Israel being birthed out of this union. If Laban, if Jacob doesn't forgive, they're not born. Now I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah. Did anyone important come from the tribe of Judah? Okay. Right. Now we're in chapter 30. Now when Rachel saw that she bore no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, give me children or else I die. Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel. He said, am I in the place of God who has withheld you from the fruit of the womb? So she said, here's my maid. And I'm like, not again. Right. Oh, man. And she will bear my children on my knees so that I may have children by her. So she gave him Bilhah, her maid. Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, God has judged my case. He has also heard my voice and given me a son. Therefore, she called his name Dan. Okay. And it went on with Naphtali, Gad, Asher. I mean, just thinking about these things, Issachar came out. You ever hear anything about Issachar's sons? Okay. Where would they have been had Jacob not forgiven? Verse 22. They had Zebulun. But verse 22, God remembered Rachel and listened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my approach. She called his name Joseph. Joseph. And we know how important that was. All of that was able to happen, folks, because Jacob was willing to forgive, even though a major wrong was done to him. A fraud was perpetrated against him. And this isn't something that happened accidentally. This is something that Laban planned. From the Laban didn't just say, oops, oh, I forgot about this little law. No, he planned it. He's like, now I can get rid of the oldest one too. And he used Jacob's love for Rachel against him. Jacob knew it. But he had to forgive. And just looking at that line, from Jacob's line came Levi. It also came Kohath, Amram. And from Amram came Moses, Miriam, and Aaron. None of them would have been here. Why am I telling you this? You don't know who God's going to team you with. You don't know who God's going to use to usher in his purpose. But if you don't forgive people that have wronged you, you could be blocking the very purpose of God for your life. I'm sure Jacob didn't know what was going to come from his bloodline. He didn't know. All he knew is that he loved Rachel. All we need to know is that we love God. We love Jesus. And because of that love, there wasn't anything that Jacob wouldn't go through. There wasn't anything he wouldn't put up with. So why are we find ourselves being intolerant? Why do we find ourselves being short-tempered? Why do we feel like I've had it with this person? If they do one more thing, I'm going to have to go before the congregation and repent. Why do we do that when we know what God said and we don't know how God's going to use us working together with that individual to fulfill his purpose? But if we walk around in unforgiveness and don't even talk to the person, how's God going to use it? And you stall his plan. I should say you stall your place in his plan, because God's plan is going to move on. So if he has to move you out, he'll move you out and someone else will step in. Those of you that have been here a while, remember Pastor Sarah sharing that God told her that she and Pastor Clinton were not his first choice. So that means somebody didn't do what they were supposed to do. And God moved them out of the way. I don't know how he moved them out of the way, and I don't want to know. But he said, all right, they won't do it. These two will. I don't want him to think those things about me. You think about all of the things that Peter did for the early church. If Jesus doesn't forgive him, he doesn't do those things. If Jesus doesn't forgive Peter, those 3,000 people wouldn't have come into the kingdom, because Peter wouldn't have been there. He wouldn't have been there. And he knew. Jesus knew that Judas had to betray him. Took him in anyway. Didn't talk about him. If we knew someone was going to deceive us like that, get our phones out. So take pictures. When you see this person, run. Okay? Don't even talk to him. Okay? The church had to forgive Saul of Tarsus. You think of some of the things that he had done. Yet where would we be if he wasn't forgiven? If the people didn't forgive him? Yep. Esau forgave Jacob. I mean, think about those things. When we go back and start looking at all of the forgiving that was taking place, when people have done some despicable things, how come we won't forgive? Because we come into service and someone's sitting in the seat where we usually sit? Hey, who does he think he is sitting in my seat? First of all, he didn't see your name on it. Okay. But we let these and it's really petty. It really is. And the reason I can say that is because since we have faith to know that God works all things together for our good, anything that happens to us is petty. Because God is going to work it out to our good, regardless of what it is. So if we really know that, why won't we forgive? If you really know that, who can get on your last nerve? I'll tell you what we don't know. We don't know. Well, let me do it this way. 1 Corinthians 12. I'm really almost done, and we'll do some questions and comments. Beginning at verse 20. But now we are many members, yet how many bodies? One body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And this is what God told me to tell you. Those members that get on your last nerve are necessary. Those members that are loud and bossy are necessary. Those members that are deceitful are necessary. Those sinners that are out there are necessary. They have saint potential. Jesus died for their potential. How can we cut them off because they're acting like who they are? when we who know,
and you just think about that. We get upset with a sinner for sinning, but we don't get upset with ourselves for not forgiving. We'll square our shoulders. No one forgive them. And then we use that famous Christian phrase that makes everybody leave you alone. I'm going to love them from a distance. No, when you do that, you are distancing yourself from the love of God. Because if the love of God is up close and personal with you, you will forgive. And I'm not telling you anything that I don't have to live. But if you don't think I have opportunities to walk in unforgiveness, you must be high. Okay. Every single day, something happens and I have to forgive. Every single day. At least once. Often it's more than that. And I don't think, that's not true. Sometimes I do have to remind myself, okay, now you're teaching on unforgiveness. You know you got to live this thing out. I'm like, yeah, throw that in my face. I'm being honest with you. And I'm like, yeah, I know, Lord, I know. I forgive. I don't say I'm going to forgive. Because if I say I'm going to, I haven't done it yet. I just say, no, I forgive them. Because in the process of going to and actually doing it, I could think myself out of it. So I might as well just let this thing go right now and just move on. And then here's the key. Once you move on, you don't even look back at it. Because every time you look back at it, you're going to feel the same thing. And you get started just getting yourself all worked up. All worked up. I was talking to one of my children about something that's going on, and I said to him, as a matter of fact, it was Joaquin, and I said to him, Jock, you have an obligation. I said, are you a godly man and you want to live a godly life? He said, yeah, Pop, yeah, I do, really. I said, really? Yes. You have an obligation to not only forgive your wife, but to pray that she's healed. He said, healed? I said, you broke her heart. You need to pray for her. You need to pray that, according to Psalm 23, that God restores her soul, that he mends her heart, that he heals her thinking. Because she never saw this coming. So will she act inappropriately about some things? Yeah. She's hurt. Man, that's a strange thing for the father of the son to say, hey, I have children. Whether they're my seed or not, they're in my life, they're my children, and they all get treated the same way. And I will never put any of them out. They can choose to walk out, but I will never, they can't do anything that will cause me to put them out. That's just the way it is. And they appreciate that. They test you to find out if you mean it, and they find out that I mean it. But think about this. Make eye contact with somebody. All right, just make eye contact with them. Okay? I'm going to ask you this question. Well, while you look at them, don't laugh at them. They don't have weak eyes or anything like that. Just look at them. Can you tell me, look at the person, can you tell me what giftings they have? Can you tell me where they fit in God's plan? Can you tell me where they fit in your life? Well, if you know them, then... If it's your spouse, you better know where they fit. A whole lot of forgiving going to have to go on in here. But listen to this, folks. That verse in 2 Corinthians in the voice. Therefore, if anyone is united with the anointed one, that person is a new creation.
The old life is gone and see a new life has begun. All of this is a gift from our Creator God, who has pursued us and brought us into a restored and healthy relationship with Him, the Anointed, and has given us the same mission. Going back, who has pursued us and brought us into a restored and healthy relationship with Him. That tells us, folks, that sometimes we're going to have to pursue forgiveness. So what does it mean? That means that person may not want to talk to you. You're going to have to pursue forgiveness. Why? So you can have a healthy relationship with that person. Why is that important? Because God said so. For what purpose? His. I mean, what specific purpose? I don't know. And when you think about it, does it really matter? We all say, God, I want you to use me. And God will say, okay, I want you to go over this person and invite them to lunch. And you look at that person and say, yeah, say it again for him. He shows you the person, you go, That person? And you say, Lord, I'll take out these three instead. Matter of fact, we'll go to Peter Luger's. Oh, I'll take him out to a good restaurant. All right. God said, no, I want you to take that one. That's what he'll tell you. And who? It's the one that you just got finished telling your friend, I can't stand that person. And if they're married, Lord, I don't know how their spouse deal with them. I'm glad I don't have to live with them every day. God tells you, I want you to go on a 2-week mission trip with them. but that's what a father will do. Hey, what they said in that movie is true. God, we're praying for God for patience, so He gives us opportunities in which we can develop patience. He doesn't send the patient truck to your home and just dump it on you. No, you have to, the trying of our faith worketh patience. If we want patience, we're going to have to go through things. But the point is, folks, really, we don't know how God is going to team us, who God's going to team us with. All we know that whatever it is, it's for His purpose. That's all we know. And we have to get to the place where we just will genuinely love one another. We really do. I don't mind the time that it takes that I have to spend with God to come before you. I don't mind. It doesn't matter to me how much sleep I get or I don't get. Why? Because I love God and I love all of you, and nothing is more important than making sure that I give the accurate word that God has for you. So whatever that means for me, that's what it means. I've gotten that settled. We need to get that settled, because we really don't know. The devil tried to sabotage the relationship with me and Pastor Ed before there was ever a relationship. He did. Because he knew I wasn't all the way delivered. I still had little foots in me. And something silly came up that wasn't either one of our faults, but it had the potential to be explosive. And when I think about it, God has been trying to turn me against Caucasians. The devil has been trying to turn me against Caucasians my entire life. Why? Because he knew I was going to be linked up with Pastor Ed. And he wanted to change my attitude so that would never happen. And I'm telling you, it did not make sense. Come on, you're in the seventh grade and your bus gets stoned for 4 days. And you don't get mad at the people. Not hateful mad at a race of people. I was mad at them, but I wasn't mad at a race of people. I remember riding my bicycle up and down the street when we first moved into the house. I must have been about 4. And there was this guy, he was German, Nothing against Germans. He just was German. I know that because that's what everybody said. They said, well, he's German. They're mean. And, I mean, you remember these things when you were little. And we'd ride down public sidewalk. He's watering grass. His hose is across the sidewalk. Well, I hadn't learned how to levitate the bike across a hose. So you ride down the street and you run over the hose. And you feel your back get wet. Right? That was a big mistake. Not because of me, but because Miss Ruby didn't know how to forgive. Okay. So I told Mommy, and maybe about 4 months later, he moved. He moved. But because of that, then God paired me with Peter Cadero, Italian guy, when I was 15. Gave me the foundation of most of the business sense that I have. Invited me over to his home in North Belmore, Long Island, and told everyone I was his son. Then went to work. When I left there, I went to work for a place called Sunset of Queens, Eddie Goldberg. Guess what his ethnicity was? All right. He took me under his wing and shared some things with me. I got to Philip Morris and I had George Bolano and Bob Weiss. All right. Give me things. If I'm too busy, you know, being prejudiced, I miss out on all those things. Because I needed all of that to get me here. See, you don't know, God knows exactly what we need, and he knows who to use to bring it out. Okay. And he uses some unlikely sources, and you have to know that it's God. Now, I was able to do that, and I didn't know God. I wasn't born again, and I didn't understand why I couldn't get mad. All my friends are talking all of this hate talk and this anti-race talk and stuff, and folks, in my head, I wanted to jump right in with them. I wanted to do Black Power and all that stuff. I couldn't do it. And I did not know why. I'm just said, I don't see it that way. This is a group of people. It's not all people. I know now it was God. I didn't know it then. But the devil was trying to sabotage the relationship for me, that me and Pastor Ed was going to develop. He wanted to sabotage it before it ever happened. And he wants to do the same thing with all of us as a congregation. He wants to sabotage the relationships so that we don't move as a unit because we don't like who we're standing next to or sitting next to. That needs to change. Look at somebody and tell them, I need you. And you need me. And there's no schism here because we've all been placed here by God. And he said he placed us in the body exactly where he wanted us. So you're in the right place. But see, the only question is, do you believe that? Then if you believe it, then the next step is we walk it out. That's the next step. We just walk it out because we don't know. But God knows. We have to be like Jacob. And even though we're deceived, used, lied on, lied to, whatever it is, because of the love that we have in us, we have to let it go. All right, we'll take some questions and comments. Yes, let's get the mics, gentlemen.